Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
The BT and Sal Show on the Fan, presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. All right, what's your issue?
You nailed it, by the way, 97. You nailed it.
Yeah, because I remember when I first started driving, King Cullen parking lot.
Oh, I've heard some stories from the parking lot of King Cullen.
Good point. And Home Depot.
Maybe you can go back.
You're not kidding. I used to love King Cullen. I always said if I didn't do broadcasting, I'd want to work in a supermarket.
Really?
And now my dreams may be coming true. Yeah, yeah. I love the supermarket. It's so good.
I mean, maybe owning one. You want to work. And not to, listen, hard work, I'm all about it. But you want to work at a supermarket?
I want to do this, which I'll continue to do.
Sure, of course.
But yeah, whatever. But I loved working in a supermarket. The change of seasons.
Yeah.
I love stocking shelves. There's something peaceful about organizing
I do
it.
Like by the meat section. It's a little chilly. It's got a good
You want to go in the back and pound
shopping.
Meat like Rocky? I
pound guess. Me, oh. Oh, hey, you know, I like going food shopping, yeah. Sal. I'm just happy when I'm walking out with my groceries. But I do enjoy the product. We talked about this. I go by myself. I've got the same list. Yogurt for the kids, eggs, milk, cereal, applesauce, kale, bananas, the fruit.
I'm
you know,
telling
turkey,
you.
Chicken.
But I'm telling you. You know how you like
and
your,
then I'm out.
You know how you like your Arborvitaes?
Oh, not like.
Okay.
I love them.
Now, why do you love them?
Because the real answer is because growing up, where I did in Brooklyn, that we had the short answer is I didn't really have a lot of grass growing up. That's why.
But you like taking care of them. You go out there. It's like it's peaceful.
It's therapeutic.
Bingo.
For sure.
So for me, there is a part of forget salary or how much you're getting paid.
Yeah, yeah.
When you are stocking shelves and unpacking, you go to the back, you get the boxes, you throw them on the U-boat, you wheel the U-boat out to your aisle. You can put headphones on. They did back then. I wasn't a fan. You're in your own world. Now, I was a cashier for a long time, but then I also had to pack out. I love that. You're in your own world, whatever section it is that you're packing out.
Yeah.
You unbox, you stock the shelf.
The little sticker gun.
Exactly. That to me, there's a calmness, a peacefulness about that I enjoy. I love doing it in my house, stocking the shelves.
Do you still do it?
You go to Costco, you get the paper towels or the toilet paper, whatever. I like organizing it.
Are you a neat freak at home or no?
I don't know how would you define that? But yes, I like to have things in order for the most part.
You do? Okay. All right.
I'm
pretty much the same way as well. Like, I don't like when things get messy. I get a little uncomfortable.
All right. What about the Yankees that you saw that you wanted to get off your chest here? I have a couple of things on my own, but you were saying that I did not watch Yankees Hot Stove.
Yeah, I saw
last
the
night.
Clips. I actually forgot it was on. I was watching the Knicks, and then I jumped on social media for a second, and I saw, you know, some things from Jack Curry. And a lot of people thought it was, I don't know if this is the right terminology, but a depressing delivery by Jack Curry. And it wasn't taking a shot at Jack. It was more trying to extrapolate through his words what people think the Yankees are going to do, which, based on the message of last night, didn't seem to be a whole hell of a lot. At least that's what I was able to get from the few clips that I saw.
Could they be playing possum here?
Well, but do the Yankees, have they ever? Like, do they need to? Why are you going to start playing that game now?
Yeah.
Who are you going to fool? You going to fool Cohen? I mean, you fool the Dodgers? Who are you going to fool?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, what's the value in playing possum?
I don't know, but I can't believe that they're not going to act like big boys.
They are, to an extent.
But that's what I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear the extent. The one thing that I saw that would be in line with that, I don't know where, I just saw it on SNY, the headline, Yanks not expected to be a threat to sign Diaz. Think about that headline for a second. Yanks not expected to be a threat to sign Diaz. Why not?
Well, they got a closer. That's the short answer.
But they should be a threat to sign everybody.
Somebody that they love.
Diaz is better than Bednar. Now, I'm not saying I'd give 5 years, $100 million, but why wouldn't the Yankees be a threat to sign Diaz and have him be your closer and Bednar be the eighth inning? The Mets can get Devin Williams to be the eighth inning guy and then have Diaz be the ninth inning guy. Now, again, there's a lot of money involved there, but that's the point. It's the Yankees. Why wouldn't they be a threat? They should always be a threat on all the best players.
I'm not a spiteful person. I'm really not. I've never been very spiteful. But if I was Hal, I think I might. Now, it's a little bit of a risky proposition, I guess. But I would mess around and I would try to just really spite the Mets here. And I would dance with Diaz until the lights go off. And I would jack up that price for Cohen. And then I'd say, take him.
Right.
I got Bednar. Who's not quite as good, but a whole hell of a lot cheaper.
But you're the Yankees.
They don't want Diaz. I don't really want Diaz. I'm not saying I wouldn't take him.
Why wouldn't you want Diaz? There's only one reason why you wouldn't want Diaz.
Well, the reason is because I think doing that would prevent them from doing the things I really think that they need to do.
That's the wrong reason.
But that's the only answer.
To me, the reason is because you think his price is going to get to a point where, let's just say 5 years, $100 million.
He's not worth five. Well, he might get that.
That's what I'm saying.
He ain't worth that.
But that's the reason. It's not that he's not a great pitcher.
He's terrific.
He's one of the best closers in the game, and he's clearly the best closer on the market.
I agree.
So
with that.
Every team that's trying to win and improve their ball club should go after it. Can't be, well, we got Bednar, we're good.
Yeah.
Well, come on. Well, I mean, now, I'm not saying that even for the Mets, I don't know if it's a sound investment investing another $100 million on top of the Williams $53 million in your bullpen. I would do it if I had to. I would hope to get Diaz for maybe 4 for $80. Maybe gives the Mets a little discount because he's been such a long time Met and had so much fun there. Whatever. We'll see how that plays out. I want the player. I don't know about the spending the $100 million on him. But you also need more than that anyway, so I'd rather go over the top on a different spot myself. All I'm saying is the Yankees, why would they not be a threat? They have no interest in Diaz. You'd rather have Bednar than Edwin Diaz? It makes no sense.
Well, here's the thing. And again, numbers matter. Now, if this was the old days, I don't think I would reach for this because numbers didn't quite matter as much in the Yankee universe, but they do now, so you've got to work under the new set of rules that we should know by now. You know what I mean? Like, we could do fantasy land, and it's fun, but I don't think the Yankees are going to give Diaz 100 and go and get Bellinger for 6 or 7 years and sniff around on Tucker and do this. They're not. So I've got to work under the new reality that they presented to me. And the reality is, while Diaz, let me just be very clear, Diaz is obviously better than Bednar.
Yeah.
But Bednar made $4 million last year.
Right.
Is he $30 million a year better? I mean, his ERA with the Yankees was 2.19.
Right.
I mean, his whip was less than one.
Well, that's my argument.
How much better can you be than that?
That's my argument for the Mets. Everybody's like, Mets need to bring back Diaz. Yeah, well, obviously it would make the bullpen better, but is Diaz worth double of what you just paid Devin Williams? Is he going to double that production? He's not. The answer is he's not.
True.
Arguably, it might even be worse if Devin Williams has a vintage Devin Williams year.
Well, he has every other year but last year.
Yeah. And even within last year, he started to show that at some point.
Yeah.
So yeah, when you're talking about value, that's what the Mets and I think other teams are looking for. I'm not going to overpay based on what you did when I project what you can do, when I could get somebody else who might not be as good, but do it for far less money, and I'm looking for a better value and mitigating the risk in that regard. So I do understand that. I just don't understand why the Yankees would be ruled out as not even being a threat to be involved in Edwin Diaz.
Well, I'm just going to repeat very quickly what I said. Yeah. They've got a closer that they like. He's cheap. He performed well in the Bronx, and he's controllable.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons. And that's one thing Cashman's great at. The guys he brought in have controllability.
Fair enough. But then I don't want to hear that they're not a threat for anybody else. And
I agree with that.
So then that's...
Yes.
When you combine everything, it seems like the Yankees are not doing much. I'm not buying it. I still believe they're going to be big players for Tucker. I don't think they're getting Bellinger and Tucker.
There's no chance that's happening.
I think maybe they can make a big trade. You're starting to hear the rumblings about Jazz. We talked about that yesterday. So I think the Yankees are going to have an active offseason.
So do I.
And still probably sign at least one big free agent. But the same stuff with not being in on Diaz. Oh, Bellinger, if we could get priced out on Bellinger. Like, you don't hear that with the Dodgers.
No, I know.
You don't even hear that with the Mets. The Mets aren't going to get priced out.
I mean, that's the reality of the situation. Yeah. I got nothing to say to that. That's true.
But doesn't that bother you?
Yes! How much you want me to scream about
the
this?
The Bronze Bombers. I'm going to tweak you until you scream about it. Needle you while I can. BT and Sal, the Fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. Let's get one baseball call in here before we get back to the honest stuff. John is in Danbury. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
So, good. Number one, all the best of whatever happens. Number two, you guys are a great show. Sal, I do got one little point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you say it all the time, and I get it's a twerk at the Yankees, you know, getting priced out. Listen, the Mets might not get priced out either, but, you know, you constantly are like, we can't buy this, we can't buy that. The Mets can buy it all, right? The Mets can buy it all, so why don't the Mets get Bellinger and Tucker?
Well, because they wouldn't fit.
They have the money. They have the money. No, they would fit. Bellinger can play first, and Tucker can play the outfield.
Yeah, I'd rather Pete back. Why not Pete and Bellinger if you're going to do that? Or Pete and Tatis.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm saying, John, do you want to talk about the Mets or the Yankees? I'm confused. Let's keep it one or the other.
I want to talk about what I think is you point out the Yankees' money, and they're not all in.
Because that's a story, John. What do I say when it comes to the Mets? What I say with the Mets is that they lose. They lose. The Mets can spend all the...
No.
Yes, yes. Yes, what do you mean, no, no? Yes, yes. What do you mean? I'm confused. John, is your point, do you think I'm being unfair to the Yankees? Is that your point and favoring the Mets?
No, I think what you're not saying the same for both. That's what I'm saying.
Because the Mets don't operate the way the Yankees do when the finances come into play. That, and thank you for the call, John. That's what you're missing. When have you heard Steve Cohen talk about, well, we want a salary cap. Oh, the luxury tax threshold. Hal has been talking about that for years. And by the way, we've gone over this many times before. The Yankees' issue isn't lack of spending.
No.
It's a part of the frustration because they haven't won enough and you see other teams spending more. Mm-hmm. That's something we still haven't gotten used to, but that's not their primary issue. The Mets' issue is everything else. They can't build a winning team. That's their issue.
Can we fuse the two and just make one team?
Well, right. I mean,
I mean, that might work out.
Maybe then they could get some wins. So the Mets have their own problems, but having an owner who's willing to extend above and beyond is not one of them.
Agreed with that. To me, the issue with the Yankees has been an improper allocation of funding. That's the problem. You know, it's not nickel and diamond. It's not, you know, retreating five steps back from where they used to be. They're just not as carte blanche as they used to be. We all know that. And when they make a mistake, whether it's a DJ or Hicks, we know all the mistakes, right? When it's one of those mistakes, they are much more reticent to swallow the mistake and then pivot quickly with aggression. They'll wait, then they'll eventually, because they have no choice, swallow. Then they'll pivot, but it'll be for a B-minus type of pivot rather than the monster pivot.
Okay, so I agree. Is that prioritizing winning? Is that winning it? And then therein lies the problem.
I agree. We've had this. I'm with you.
Well, I know. And I'm not trying to pick on the Yankees. I'm just frustrated for them. Like, I want to see them be better. Obviously, we talk about that all the time. It's not a Met-Yankee thing. I don't care about that. What we care about is having the best baseball teams possible. The Yankees went to the World Series 2 years ago. Then they let one of the best players, one of the more integral players in getting to the World Series, go for more money. Okay, maybe they couldn't do anything about it. Maybe 765 was ridiculous. Fair enough. They built the plan B, and it was a solid plan B.
It was. I liked it on paper, most of the season.
It fell short. Okay, happens. The idea should be, now that we set this plan B, let's build on top of it. Not let's lose Bellinger and then try to figure out how to replace him. The idea would be to get better. They got worse after losing Soto, and now you don't want to get even worse than where you were. Meanwhile, other teams around them are continuing to get better.
Red Sox,
the Blue Jays may get Tucker.
Well, the Toronto's obviously better. The Red Sox are coming. I mean, this is the reality of where we are. They're really good. They're not good enough. By the way, just read the headline. What was the headline that it said? But Yankees, it was a short headline.
Yankees,
Diaz.
Yankees,
what was
not,
the exact wording?
Yanks not expected to be a threat to sign Diaz.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you can tell that.
It was actually from Jack Curry.
It was from Jack.
So it's an aggregating here. I just saw it on SNY, social media. Jack Curry of Yes does not believe the Yankees will pursue Diaz or other top relievers on the free agent market.
Okay. Now, and so that wasn't Jack's wording of threat. It was just the headline, and then they were taken from taking the point that he said, and then
I just read you the story on SNY.TV.
Okay. So here's why I'm okay with that, because I don't think that they need Diaz.
Right.
If Diaz's name was out and it was Tucker's name or Bellinger's name or one of the three or four names, and those are the top two, obviously, that I truly value and know that the Yankees need to minimally get at least one. to take a step and hang with the big boys again and win, well, now I would have exploded today. Like, but there, for me, there's no reason to explode when they don't have a need at the back. And I do admit Diaz is more electric than Bednar, but Bednar is really good. He fit well. He's cheap and he's controllable like that. So I'm not just going to air craziness just to air craziness. But if there's a similar article attached to one of those guys that I know that they need,
right,
you'll get the craziness.
Makes sense. And John Heyman, well, the Post just tweeted this out from John Heyman. And what, is
quoting Beningo on the Mets plans?
Cody Bellinger.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Get out of here.
Cody Bellinger remains the Yankees' number one target. This is according to Heyman of the Post. And while they aren't necessarily close to a deal yet, they are making a big effort. Bellinger has a ton of interest coming off his 5-WAR season. Mets, Phillies, Angels, Dodgers, other possibilities. That furthers the report yesterday from Morosi.
Yeah.
But this is John Heyman, the latest that the Post tweeted out. So there you go. So the Yankees right now, the primary target is Bellinger. They're going hard after him. That's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you also don't want to hear it, yeah, but we're not going to go to... I think Bellinger's coming back to the Yankees because I think he wants to be here, so they shouldn't have to go over the top to land him.
You would think, unless there is one, you know, rogue offer that we would deem irresponsible. You know, I mean, if it's the same years, 6-6, again, 7's crazy. But say if he's got 3 or 4 offers and they're all 6 years, you know, and maybe the Yankees' AAV is $2 million less than the Dodgers or the Mets, whatever, then I could see him saying, you know what, I like it here. I'm good with Judge. I'm comfortable. My dad played here. He won championships. I'm good. I'm going to stay a Yankee. But if they think they're getting a hometown discount where, like, they offer 5 years and other teams are offering 7, he's leaving.
Jim is calling from New Hyde Park. What's up, Jim?
Jimmy.
Hey, Jim. All right. Anthony's calling from Fort Lauderdale about Giannis. What's up, Ant? Obviously, we're talking about that the first hour. What's up, Ant?
How are you guys doing? Happy good. Holidays.
You too.
You too, Ant.
I wanted to just begin just a quick statement. I'm not going to get into too much depth about it, but I will miss you guys, man. You guys are awesome. You guys are part of my family every morning.
Appreciate so, that. Thank
mid,
you, Anthony.
Every mid, actually, every mid-afternoon. And I watch you on YouTube all the time.
That's
sorely,
awesome,
sorely going to miss you guys. It's a bad decision what they're doing.
Well, we're not dying, so you'll hear from us at some point. Thanks, thank you very much.
I'd like to know if you could please make an announcement.
Well, we will. And I'm not, listen, I'm not trying to cut you off or anybody else who says that stuff. Trust me, man. Especially at this time, we love hearing it. It feels good. We're just doing the show. There'll be a time and a place for that. Thank you very, very much. Talk to us about the Giannis trade. What are you thinking, man?
Definitely. Just let me know where you're going.
Yeah, no, we will. 100%. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the Knicks. I'm a big Knicks fan, big Mets fan as well. So I want to focus on the Knicks right now, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on with Giannis. I'm going to ask you guys a question. I've been following basketball for a very long time. And I'm going to, before I ask you a question, I want you guys to give me an honest opinion on something.
Good.
Okay? As much as I love Jalen Brunson, and I do you think that he makes people around him better the way Magic Johnson did?
No, I don't know that anybody makes people better than the way Magic or Bird. I mean, that's Magic Johnson. The answer is no.
Okay.
It's the easiest question I've ever heard in my life. You know the answer.
But he does make people around him better.
I know. Yeah. I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. And I don't even think he's as good as Isaiah Thomas.
He's
not.
He's not.
Okay. So bottom line is this. I probably would trade him for Giannis. Probably would. I watched him play the Celtics the other night. He sometimes he falls apart at times, Jalen Brunson. He does. If you watch that game against the Celtics, the whole game, tell me what you saw, because I saw things that really pissed me off, and he's inconsistent at times. I'll be honest with you. And he does commit turnovers at times.
I don't think and thank you for the call, and really thanks for saying what you said. We appreciate that, buddy. We'll be, you call us. We're not leaving today. Soon, but not today. I think that the criticisms, the inconsistencies that you illuminate with Brunson, I don't think that that's fair. Now, I think that there are inherent deficiencies. He's short. He's not explosive.
Yeah.
Laterally, he's a problem on the pick and roll defense. You could exploit him. You could attack him, as basically every team does. He's a little loose with the ball. I'll give you that. But the other stuff is on lock every single night. He's as reliable as it gets.
No, come on. And he's the perfect guy to represent your franchise. So those are not easy. It's not happening. The Knicks aren't trading him. Hoff mentioned it before. And I even forget what his, honestly, I was kind of zoning out a little bit, but was Hoff saying that he would do it, or he thinks that they're going to? I thought he said that they're going to.
He was saying that he would. Actually, I think he might be saying that they will.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
No, right. That was my point. You didn't say, I didn't want to rip his thing. I thought you said that they would trade him for Giannis.
Yeah.
That's where I'd say.
But would you agree, I guess you would, if they did?
Yeah.
Okay, I agree with that.
But there are two different things.
Yes.
A, they aren't trading him.
Check.
B, would you trade him?
X.
It's a different it's a different conversation.
It's very different.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Giannis has been the main topic today. Angelo is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Angelo?
So, as far as Cat goes, because Cat has to be in this trade, surely for the money, he's got to be in the trade. It's so upsetting because he's not the player that we thought he was going to be. I was so excited.
Actually, he is. he's totally the guy.
He's exactly the player.
Yeah, a great scorer, terrific shooter, slow and soft. He's exactly that guy.
Me and you watch every game.
Yeah.
The stupid fouls.
Yes.
The not following the shots. We took a road trip to Boston, and just watching him complain with the referees and watching guys go by for a layup, like, oh, it's so sickening. So my package is Cat, OG, his hamstring, and picks for Giannis, if that works.
Cat, OG,
because I love Bridges.
Picks.
I love I love Bridges. And the people that call up and say about trading Brunson, first of all, in the world, let's say we hated Brunson, which he's the best clutch player, the best point guard we've had in our adult lifetime, right?
Yep. Oh, God,
the money wouldn't work anyway.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. It's not realistic. It doesn't make sense to trade Jalen Brunson to bring in Giannis.
No,
what are we doing here? Hey, then you become the Bucks.
One more thing, Sal.
You become
about
the
Knicks in general, Sal. About the Knicks in general, and BT, you're going to laugh at this one. Sal, you were right. I miss Tom Thibodeau. I never thought I would say that.
Get out of here.
Wait. Watching a guy who never subbed versus the fire drill, known as Mike Brown.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He doesn't let guys get comfortable in the game, in and out. And Tibbs was the boss. And I was the guy that was all for this, Tibbs going. Yeah. Tibbs was a boss as a coach. Mike Brown is looking down to the assistant coaches. And it's just... I don't know. It's not working.
You someone say it's like he's like, you know, a clown a little bit on the sidelines. You know what I'm saying?
You have to let the players get comfortable.
You don't think I'm going to stop being me, do you? I mean, I don't care what the circumstance is. I'm going to go out my way. No, that's the thing. Mike Brown seems like a great guy.
He's very loved.
But that's,
like around the league.
Yeah, but that's the point.
Well, that's what,
I don't
that,
want somebody to be loved.
That was your reaction. Yeah. Who was it? Was it... they've got the Up and Smoke pod, right? Wasn't it? Not Steven
Matt
Jackson,
Barnes.
Matt Barnes.
Yeah, Matt Barnes.
And we played it on the show when he was talking about how from Sacramento, what a great guy he is. Everybody loves him. And you heard that. You're like, I don't like that. And I don't necessarily like that either. I like, you know, it's one thing to delegate, but there's got to be a definitive line of authority. And maybe with Mike Brown, it's not as clear, but he's an offensive genius, but he's an offensive plus.
He is the complete opposite of Tibbs, where Tibbs was a no-nonsense, structure, discipline, organization, knows what he's doing. Brown is just like, he's the complete opposite. Even in the post-game press conferences, yucking up with the media, having fun, laughing around. That could be good for some, and maybe it could be good for a short run. I would not want that, which is why, with all due respect, and Mike Brown's a fine coach. I just don't think he's the guy to take the Knicks to the next level. I'd much rather have Tibbs. We've gone over this before.
We have.
And by the way, it's way too early to be making decisive calls on the results so far.
100%. Knicks have had a couple of injuries, obviously, with Brunson being a little bit jacked up. OG's been out for a little bit here. You know, and I just went back to the beginning of last year, and I knew it was a rough start. I want to see exactly how rough. The Knicks were 5-6 at one point. Now, that's obviously an incredibly small sample. They lost to the Bulls. I remember that game, actually. And Towns almost 50 points that game, but they lost. And then they start to get hot. But, like, the Knicks were fairly, you know, middling. They were 15-10 on December 11th. That's not exactly setting the world on fire. And 14-7 and being the 3 seed right now behind the Pistons and another team that you're supposed to be better than, that's not exactly setting the world on fire. I guess for me the difference is there's not much of a difference in terms of like, imprint in the league or standings. The only difference is if you believe offensively that when it's all said and done, this team will get over the hump because of Mike Brown versus what you thought Tom Thibodeau could do for them defensively last year and the years before that.
Saul is calling from Fresh Meadows. What's up, Saul?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
The question about bringing Giannis, any team would want to have Giannis, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I am questioning this. He's been playing for the Bucks. And the team that surrounds him, all the guys, the backups, the starters, and whoever, collectively, are they that much worse? Or do you think that the current Knicks without Kat would be that much of an improvement for him to be playing with, that all of a sudden he would make this team a winner when he didn't make the other team a winner?
Well, it's a really good question, but you need to tell me who exactly is on the Knicks with him. So right. Not to play the guessing game. Give me names.
Let's say you're going to get rid of Kat.
Yep.
Which I don't think is necessary.
All right, well, just tell me the names and we can reevaluate. So who's left? Brunson? So it'll be Giannis and Brunson, right?
Right. Now, didn't they have a guy who came over to their team last year? Was it Lillard?
Yes, and he got hurt.
Okay. And he was supposed to be the answer to everything,
but he's
and
done.
He didn't turn out to
but
be.
He's, no, you're right, Saul, but he's physically done. He's older, and he's different, he's a volume, even though he's actually fairly efficient. But I ask you that because if it's Giannis and Brunson versus what they currently have right now, yes, Giannis and Brunson would be much better than... It's a good question. I really mean that. Like, I'm not even trying to placate you. It is a really good question. Because to make this happen, the Knicks are going to have to strip away a lot of valuable assets. And that's part of the start of the show. Go back and listen on the Free Odyssey app. That's what Sal and I were chopping up and trying to chop through to see, like, okay, well, who's left? I mean, okay, but it sounds great, Giannis and Brunson sounds terrific. But if it's three scrubs, you know, next to them, that's not going to work out. I don't think it will be. I appreciate the question. What I'll do for you is I'll just go to...
But to his point, the Bucks should be better than what they are.
I don't know about that.
It's not like I'm breaking down Milwaukee Bucks basketball.
I don't think they should be. I don't know.
But they have a... Well, if Giannis is such a superstar that he was, then why don't they have a better record? They do have a decent supporting
cast. Remember, they got Miles Turner from the Pacers.
Yes.
Hold on. That's the name that jumps. I know that A.J. Green's playing some minutes.
Kevin Porter Jr., right? Yeah, Kevin Porter Jr. is averaging 19.8 a game.
What's he shooting, though? I mean, anybody could put points up when you're averaging 120 as a team. What's he shooting from three? What's he shooting overall?
56.3 overall.
So that's outstanding.
59.1 for 3 points.
That's even better. Okay, so.
Oh, no, wait. That might be, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. He's definitely shooting 56.3 from the field. The other number I gave you, I think.
All right, but that's still, that's really good. Jericho Sims is playing big minutes for them.
Kuzma. Regular season, 59.1%.
Are you serious? Yeah. Let's get him.
Hold on a second. He's only playing four games. That's the issue.
But he also played 35 minutes last night. Yeah, yeah. And
That's why I saw him light it up last night. I'm looking through the box score last night. Anyway, they got some potential there.
But they don't have Brunson, is my point. Like, Miles Turner, good player. Porter, fine. A.J. Green, Ryan Rollins, Bobby Portis, Kuzma, Jericho Sims, Gary Trent Jr., great. There's nobody that can shine Brunson's shoes there. So Brunson with Giannis right away, it's not even close.
Yeah.
Imagine if Brunson was the starting point guard instead of Ryan Rollins. Like, that's a team that's probably going to win the championship, or at least represent the Eastern Conference, I think.
Well, they also should be better. The point is they should be better than what they are, 10-13. I mean, that's just not good. With a superstar to be 10-13, Giannis alone should be better than that. BT and Sal on the Fan. When we come back, we'll have Nick Kostos join us, go over week 14 in the NFL.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern, and You Better You Bet countdown and kickoff Sundays, 11 to 1 Eastern, leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app, and my favorite show on the Fan, Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., getting you set for the full slate. And Nick, let's start with Thursday night. Usually we get into the Jets-Giants nonsense. No need to go there. This is a huge game with the Lions and Cowboys. Essentially, the way I look at it, an elimination game Thursday night.
Yeah, you could certainly make that case, and great to be on with you guys. I actually think that tonight's game, which is Detroit and Dallas, and Sunday night, Kansas City hosting Houston, kind of mirror each other a little bit, right? So the Lions are 3-point home favorites tonight against the Cowboys. Kansas City is like 3.5 at home Sunday night against Houston, where you can legitimately make the case, and I'm not saying that it would be right, but I think you can make the case that the two underdogs are actually better than the favorites that they're playing at this weekend. The two road dogs, Houston and Dallas, are better than the two home favorites. And it's me saying this about the Chiefs, Kansas City and Detroit. And we can get to the Sunday night game, but just as far as tonight is concerned, I actually think that right now, like, Dallas is better than Detroit. With the state of the Lions and how hurt Detroit is, where we are not expecting Amon-Ra St. Brown to play in tonight's game. So if you're in fantasy, it's the last week of the fantasy football regular season, if you've got him, I actually don't think he's playing. He hasn't practiced all week. He's listed as questionable, so he's not been ruled out yet. In all the prop markets, though, which is generally a pretty good indicator, not 100%, he's not listed. So I think he is unlikely to play tonight. Not 100%,
yep.
But I think he's likely to miss. Sam Laporta is out for the season for Detroit.
Yep.
So you're missing like two of your three best pass catchers for against Dallas, right? And the interior of this offensive line for Detroit is nothing to write home about. It's not what it's been in the past. They tried to bring back their all-pro center, Frank Ragnow, who retired before the season. Then he failed his physical, so he ain't coming back. How is Dallas not throwing for 300 yards in this game on Detroit's injury-depleted secondary? So if, like, if you told me fully healthy Detroit, we can have a conversation. I think heading into tonight's game, Dallas is just better. I think the Cowboys are going to win. I certainly like the Cowboys plus three tonight to kick off week 14.
Nick, real quick here. So you talk about if Detroit was healthy, they're obviously not, which is why you say what you say. And you also mentioned Kansas City before. I feel like throughout the year we've diagnosed their issues more than Detroit, but really Detroit's been a little disappointing from the opening of the season. What is different about the Jets? It's not all injuries. What's the difference this year from last year?
They're not hitting the fourth downs.
That's it?
We can go back to a couple games. So the Philly game, which, you know, Philly kind of like suffocated them in that Sunday night game. But remember all the fourth down, there was such an uproar. How could Dan Campbell like pass up the field goals? Like, this is what he always does. And none of them worked out. And maybe if they do, it's a different story. And then last week on Thanksgiving against Green Bay, where, look, Jordan Love was magnificent in the game. He was spectacular. Green Bay went 3-for-3 on fourth down. The Lions went 0-for-2 in high leverage spots. So, like, if Detroit gets these fourth downs, I think it's a different story. Now, that doesn't mean that I think the Lions are a Super Bowl caliber team this year. Like, I don't think that, especially with the injuries that they've sustained. But I kind of think, like, when you're going to have this really volatile style, right, which Dan Campbell does, where he's going to gamble constantly, sometimes you'll go 4-for-8 on fourth down over the span of a few games. Sometimes you'll go 7-for-8. And sometimes you'll go 1-for-8. And it feels like the latter is what's been happening this year for Detroit. And, you know, like, I like Dallas tonight. It doesn't mean Detroit can't win.
Yeah, I like here's Dallas, what I can too. I like him, too.
But here's what I can guarantee for everybody. Like, Detroit's going to roll the dice in these big spots. He's going to go for it on some fourth downs. How do I know that? Because that's what he always does. What if they get all of them? Like, they can definitely win the game tonight. So I think that's kind of like the secret sauce for Detroit a little bit. Like, they usually have more talent than the opposition. That may not be as true this year. Now, if they get the fourth downs, that's how they can win. If they don't, that's how they're going to lose. I'll bank on the Cowboys just being better and take the Dallas tonight.
You think the Cowboys can win that division?
I do, which is insane to say. Now Philly, I think Philly's going to get a break on Monday night. My guess is that Justin Herbert does not play. So fractured his hand in the win against the Raiders on Sunday. Had surgery on Monday. Now it's his non-throwing hand. He did not practice yesterday. The Chargers are saying that they're not ruling him out. I mean, he has a broken hand, and he's going to play against the Eagles with both of his tackles out. I think he's probably going to miss, which means the Eagles, I think, are likely to win the game on Monday night. But just like looking at the schedules coming down the stretch, I think the schedule favors Dallas, where the Eagles after the Chargers will beat the Raiders at home. Then the final three games at Washington, at Buffalo, home Washington. And I know the Commanders have stunk this year, but something to remember, it is very likely to be Jaden Daniels starting those games for the Commanders, not Marcus Mariota. So now you've got two games against Daniels and at Buffalo in week 17 sandwiched in there. And the Cowboys have an easier ride down the stretch of the season. Like, they get the Giants in the finale. Like, they get the Vikings next week and J.J. McCarthy. They get the Chargers at home as opposed to on the road, where I think Dallas absolutely has to win tonight in order to keep the dream alive. But I think the dream is there for Dallas to win this division, can't believe I'm saying.
But you're not wrong. I mean, we've kind of computed all this stuff. I'm not sure if I totally agree about the scheduling because Herbert's hurt, whatever. Then they've got the Raiders as well. But I'm not going to quibble over that. But point largely taken. What if they lose tonight in terms, forget about the division. Can you still see Dallas maybe getting a wild card?
I think it's going to be really hard just given like the state of the rest of the NFC. And candidly, like how many wins a lot of these teams have? And I'm just bringing up the standings here where, okay, so Dallas would have 7 wins if they won. So if they lose tonight, they have 6 wins, right?
Yep, that would be 6-1,
yeah,
correct.
They're toast
6-1. Yeah, you're probably right.
Chicago has 9.
Yeah, you're right.
Green Bay has 8. Yep. Detroit would have 8, right? Because they would win the game tonight. Yeah. Tampa has 7. Carolina has 7. And Carolina beat Dallas when they played head-to-head. Mm-hmm. Rams, Seattle, San Francisco all with 9.
Got it.
It's a must-win game tonight. I think they're going to win. But if they lose, we can probably say with confidence, like, the only way that they can make the playoffs is to win the division, and you would need the Eagles to lose on Monday night to keep that alive.
Is it a must-win game for your Chiefs?
Yes.
Every game they have to win out? What do you think here? And do you expect that they will make the playoffs at this point?
You know, so the worst AFC playoff team right now has 8 wins if the season ended today. Kansas City has 6. So is it possible the Chiefs could lose one more and go 10-7 and win out the rest of the way and make it? Yes, like, it's possible. I don't know if it's likely. I think they absolutely have to win on Sunday night. And I think Houston is interesting, right? Because they're kind of the bizarro Cowboys in a way. And I'll make this make sense in a moment here. Where we've been saying all season, right, can Dallas's defense just be average or, like, slightly below average? And they can really cook with gas because the offense is so good. With Houston, it's been the opposite. Can the offense be average or, like, slightly below average to pair with what I think is the best defense in the league? And then the Texans can cook with gas. I don't think the offense will confuse anyone with, like, the greatest show on turf, St. Louis Rams. But, like, it's like an average unit now. The offensive line's way better. They can run the ball with some effect, which they were unable to do at the start of the season. And some of the rookie position players, and Sal, you listen to the Sunday show, I talk about Jaden Higgins every week.
Yeah.
He's coming into his own here. And the thing to consider with this game, right, the Chiefs are probably going to be without 3 of their 5 starting offensive linemen. Oof. Like, we know Josh Simmons is out. He's on IR. Trey Smith, their best offensive lineman, their left guard, I think he's probably going to miss. And their swing tackle, who would play left tackle, Jalen Moore, I think is also probably going to miss. Now, we don't, like, those two might play. We'll see. I think they're all probably going to be out. And here's the best pass rush in the league. How's this going to go? And then you have those great corners, Stingley and Lassiter, to put on Rashee Wright, and they could play man coverage against the Chiefs receivers. And it's going to be Patrick Mahomes playing against, you know, like, you turn the sliders up on the video game all the way up. And that's the difficulty he's going to face.
Yep.
Like, can he win? Like, yes, he's the best quarterback in the league. I'm a little skeptical about it. I would say I'm at DEFCON 1 with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, you should be.
I actually think they're done.
I do too.
And it's not the poke. Now, I didn't all along.
You can throw dirt on my.
No, no, I'm serious. Fine. Because even in real time, just looking at the standings and listening to you and thinking about it, I think the Texans are very dangerous here. And we've been waiting for Kansas City. Well, they're going to make the playoffs. They'll make the playoffs. There is no more wiggle room. There's no margin for error. And this is a matchup. I thought they would beat Dallas. I thought they'd stomp Dallas. Come on. If they can't beat Dallas, why would I think they could beat the Texans?
And the thing about that game is, and, like, we all watch 57 million people. Yeah. Watch the games. Like, we all watch the game. Mahomes was sensational in the game. Like,
I was at the game. I went to the game.
Right, you went to the game?
Yeah, in-laws. Yeah, my wife's parents are in Dallas. We went to the game. Yeah.
Oh, love that.
Yeah, it was wild.
So you saw the game, right? Mahomes was great. The defense couldn't get a stop. Andy was like, so conservative, they should give him a spot on Fox News. And they committed a million penalties in the game. And
that's the thing politics.
About... Well, listen, always.
Yeah, I got you.
I can make a Biden joke at some point, too. I wish everyone a happy Arbor Day on December 25th, just to offend everybody.
Yeah,
now everybody,
good comedy, offend everybody.
You had a, yes. I don't even know his name, the mayor of New York. You had one of those lines in there on your Sunday show. I caught that.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
You did it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I forget what it was, but anyway,
you got to work the current.
Those jokes write themselves with him. Yeah. All right, so listen, there's some big games coming up this weekend. Obviously, in addition to the ones we've touched, Bears, Packers, Steelers, Ravens. Steelers, Ravens, big. Not exactly a great game, but it's big. And of course, the Colts and the Jaguars. And those two teams seem to be going in a little bit of a different direction here. Jones is jacked up. They've lost a couple straight. Jaguars starting to surge. Scored a lot of points this weekend. Does that trend continue? I don't think the Colts necessarily stabilize things. I think they lose. What are you thinking about this one?
Well, I think, you know, BT as a Jets fan.
Oh, I know.
Oh, dude, they have absolutely smoked the Colts. And it's early, obviously, but they have smoked the Colts. I told you guys, A.D. Mitchell's an absolute stud and needed a change of scenery. It's like, I'm not surprised by how good A.D. Mitchell has been. You know, I think Indy is better than Jacksonville. Like, I think the Colts are better.
Okay.
But if I'm going to bet this game, and I haven't decided if I'm going to, how does the handicap not kind of begin and end with one quarterback in the game has a broken leg?
Yeah. And who likes to run?
who can't move laterally.
He's a thrower. He's a runner. Laterally. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I do think Indy is a better team than Jacksonville. If you made me bet the game now, I think I'd take the Jaguars. Yeah, like Daniel Jones has a broken leg.
Yeah, he
so
does.
I think I'd take Jacksonville.
Okay, so, and now just to satisfy my own personal whatever, they're going to lose, I think, a lot of games the rest of the way. I'm with you. I think that they lose this week. I do. And then they've got, you know, got to go to Seattle. Good luck. Got to play the Niners. Got to play the Jags again. Then they have to finish the season up in Houston, who's obviously surging. So I say this clearly from a Jet perspective. You know, right now, that is the 23rd. Right now, it's the 23rd pick. It's moving in the right direction for the Jets. I think they could go 1-4 the rest of the way. I really do the Colts. Yeah. How about you?
I don't think there's any question. I think right now in that division, the best team is actually Houston, but Houston's behind the eight ball, right, in terms of wins and losses. So I think the Texans are the best team. Make me pick a division winner right now, I would actually take Jacksonville. And I like where your head's at, BT, and just like on the Jets for a second here.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about that game if you want also against Miami.
Yeah,
where
no.
I certainly understand like what pick is it going to be for the Jets. I think it's more just the volume of picks in the war chest that the Jets are basically going to be able to, if Darren Mooji wants to in 26, and maybe he wants to punt to 27 and push the chips all in then.
Yeah.
Like they're in the catbird seat to control whichever draft they want out of the next two.
Which is exactly
like wherever the big quarterback's in.
It's exactly where you want to be in year one of a rebuild. Last one from me, Nick. Rather than talk about the Jets in Miami, I want to talk about the NFC North. I didn't think the Bears were this good. I thought the Eagles would bounce back and beat them on Black Friday. I was dead wrong about that. Who's the better team? Packers start to come into form a little bit. We know where the Lions are at. Head-to-head, Bears-Packers for the NFC North. Who do you think's the better team, and what happens on this Sunday?
Green Bay is better, right, than Chicago. And the reason why, I think, was actually said out loud by Bears head coach Ben Johnson in his media availability early in the week when he said, we are winning not because of, but in spite of our passing game. And it's not where anyone wants it to be right now. And kind of like the dirty little secret with the Bears, and I don't want to frame this in a way that it's like this guy is a bust, because he's not. And it took Jared Goff a couple seasons to really get going in Ben Johnson's offense, right? So I do think it's fair to say Caleb Williams will be better next year in the offense than he is this year in his first year in the offense. But with that said, like, Caleb's not playing really that well. And this passing offense is really inconsistent, and none of the receivers have really emerged. Like, Roma Dunze kind of stinks recently for the Bears. He does. It is what it is. So I think Chicago's passing offense kind of lacks some upside here. Now, Ben Johnson is such an elite schemer, right? Where think about the game against Pittsburgh a few weeks ago, where he wins off of play action the entire game and the Steelers don't adjust. And then on Black Friday, he puts Vic Fangio in the clown suit by moving everyone all over and having these gaping holes in the run game for DeAndre Swift and for Kyle Manungai. Green Bay's defense is not going to let Chicago's offense do what it wants to do, like the way that those two teams did, even with the Eagles' defense being as good as it is. So who do I think is going to win on Sunday? I think the Packers are more likely to win with Jordan Love playing the way that he is. If the point spread goes to 7, though, I am going to like Chicago to cover the spread. That number 6.5, I think it might get to 7. Bears plus 7, I think, will be a bet for me coming up on Sunday.
All right, last thing for me. Talking to Nick Costas, of course, BT and Sal. Quick hit. Don't give it a whole lot of thought. We'll end up, at least I will, with you G-men. And I need an answer fast. The head coach of the Giants in 2026 is going to be...
Oh, I want it to be Dallas Cowboys offensive coordinator Clayton Adams.
You did say that last time. That came up a little bit. I just want to see if you're consistent.
And who do you think it's going to be?
I don't know.
not
nice talk.
Someone I don't want. Mike McCarthy.
Both of you guys sleeping on McCarthy. I don't get it. We don't have time for that. I just don't get it. Show the guys some respect. Both of you guys.
Well, looks like I think Mike McCarthy, and to be fair, the Giants have been such an abject train wreck that, like, winning 11 games, that's like winning the Super Bowl. I don't think Mike's offensive scheme is antiquated. Mm-hmm. And look, all you need to see is what Dallas is doing on offense this year versus last year. Like, that's it. With Clayton Adams and Brian Schottenheimer. The system's antiquated, but he's a really good coach. They would be respectable again. But the point is not to be respectable. The point is to win a world championship.
That's fair.
Which is why I would want to pass on Mike McCarthy.
Okay.
Unless he's bringing 2010 Aaron Rodgers with him.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Nick.
Got it. Wishing everyone minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
I always forget how he just launches right. I love when he does that.
He's the best.
I don't know why that cracks me up.
Yeah, I love him. That was the host of You Bet or You Bet, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary for all of your betting and sports talk needs. Check out the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.